Let us begin this service by singing number 137. The stanzas 1, 2 and 3. 137. The mighty God, Jehovah, speaks and calls the earth from sea to sea. From Judah, Zion, God shines forth. He comes and will not silent be. Devouring flame before him goes, and dark the tempest around him grows. Number 137, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. We will read to you from God's holy word, the prophet Jeremiah, the 13th chapter, and we commence with verse 12, Jeremiah 13. Therefore, thou shalt speak unto them this word. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, every bottle shall be filled with wine, and they shall say unto thee, do we not certainly know that every bottle shall be filled with wine? Then shalt thou say unto them, thus says the Lord, behold, I will fill all the inhabitants of this land, even the king that sit upon David's throne, and the priest and the prophets and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with drunkenness. And I will dash them one against another, even the fathers and the sons together, says the Lord. I will not pity, nor spare, nor have mercy, but destroy them. Hear ye and give ear, be not proud. For the Lord has spoken, give glory to the Lord your God, before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, he turneth into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. But if ye will not hear it, my soul shall weep in secret places for your pride, and mine eyes shall weep sore, and run down with tears, because the Lord's flock is carried away captive. Say unto the king and to the queen, humble yourselves, sit down. For your principality shall come down, even the crown of your glory. The cities of the south shall be shut up, and none shall open them. Judah shall be carried away captive, all of it. It shall be wholly carried away captive. Lift up your eyes, and behold them that come from the north. Where is the flock that was given thee, thy beautiful flock? What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? For thou hast taught them to be captains, and as sheaf over thee, shall not sorrow take thee, as a woman in travail, thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. Lord, it has pleased thee in thy long suffering to bring us in this evening in this house of prayer, that we come unto thee with all our needs and with all our wants. Especially in this special hour, where our government had asked for that and proclaimed that in this country, in regard to the condition and the need in which the country is, Lord, thou knowest what we are in ourselves, and that we can never come unto thee in truth and uprightness, unless that spirit of prayer and supplication is given unto us from above. Lord, have mercy with us together, and remember all the gatherings in this evening in the country, where they come together to seek thy face and to lay the needs and wants before thy throne. Grant an opening in that new and living way that is opened in Christ and in his precious blood. Cast us not away out of thy sight. Leave us not over to ourselves and the foolishness of our hearts, But Lord, that it may please thee to bind the seriousness of the times in which we are living upon our heart and upon our soul, that our eyes were opened also of our government and president and all those that rule over us, that without thee, that we cannot have any welfare and any blessing if we deny the Lord, refuse him, and violate his commandments, that the wrath of God is coming upon us to destroy the country and to destroy the nation. Remember us with children and grandchildren, and use in this evening thy word and testimony in our midst to bring us to that right place in true humiliation of heart and soul, where we never and never can bring ourselves. Oh Lord, give thy Holy Spirit also in him and over him who is called in this evening to preach thy word in the midst of the congregation, and that our hearts were made receptive, that it findeth an entrance into our heart, and that it brings us to a standstill, and to realize the greatness of our sin, but also the holiness of the Lord, and that he is justice and just in all his ways. That this evening made deep impression in all of our hearts, and that we may believe what we will hear out of thy word, because it were words spoken by one of the prophets, but it is an eternal word, a word that goes through to the end of the world. Remember all those that could not gather with us. Remember all the different ones who are in the hospitals and who are waiting for the hospital, an opportunity that they can come there. One of our former elders again, in the weakness of his body. Oh Lord, strengthen him and sustain him, and remember him for soul and body as that other father that is still laying there, but hoping that he can come back at the end of this week, as also that other father who was operated in that other city and state, and who also is expecting to come home. Lord, remember all those who are sick and old and weak. We commend them all, young and old, at the throne of grace. The boys in the service and in the countries where they have to fight, remember them in thy condescending mercy. And bless us in this evening, in speaking and in hearing, with the pardoning of all our sins and all our transgressions, to the honor of thy name, to the gladness of thy children, and to the conversion of sinners, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 123. 1:23. Your offering will be for our school. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or unto an idol our hands spread abroad, shall not the Almighty uncover this sin? He knows all our hearts and the secrets within. Number 1:23. Beloved congregation, where the Lord is said in his holy word to fear God and to honor the King, it is for that reason that we are gathered in this evening in this house of worship. Our government wrote again a proclamation for an hour of prayer. That it was a real and a true need for them especially, but also for all of us, where we are all comprehended in that population living in this country. And it we must well be indifferent if the condition in which we are now living was not bound upon our heart and upon our soul. We must well be blind if we do not see the seriousness of times, especially also for our country, as it almost was never before. The United States, before they were as on the top of the list amongst the other nations and countries of this world, but that is no more so in our days. And the reason, the final reason, that is nothing else than our sins and our transgressions. When we forsake the Lord, violated his ordinances, making his day, and another thing, that the Lord have no more to say anything in our government and in our life as a nation. That is the only reason that we are in such a terrible condition. This evening, we have the privilege to come together, but the question comes up, shall there another year still be such an opportunity? Where what we hear from day to day and from week to week, not only in Canada, but also in our own country, what takes place. The man of sin is revealed. And there is no more conscience. What have taken place in Canada, in Quebec, and what took place again in California, in the killing of all those people in that house, and then casting the dead bodies in that pool, in that swimming pool, burned up the house, must not fear and trembling fill our hearts, people. If we are realizing that we are living and making out a part of the same country, And must we not say, Lord, what shall be next? No arrest down the street, and no arrest in the houses, and in the schools, but fear and trembling, what will happen day and night, and again congregation that are all the proofs that the Lord leaves us over to ourselves. This evening I have some words to speak in your midst about the condition in which we are living. And really, it is more serious than that we can tell you, and that most of the people is realizing in our days. 5 to 12. 5 minutes to 12. That is the condition in which we are living. And still, in the last minutes, also for our country, the Lord in his condescending mercy, he comes unto us with that word that we will explain a few minutes to you out of Jeremiah 13, verse 16. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness, and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains, and while ye look for light, he turneth into the shadow of death, and make it gross darkness thus far. We have in our text an earnest exhortation. In the last hour of our country, the contents of that exhortation and the urgency of that exhortation, that are the two things that we will consider with you for some moments. The prophet Jeremiah in our text and in that chapter that I have read to you this evening, he is not speaking so friendly to the people, but he is asking the people, in the name of the Lord, to hear and to give glory to the Lord. Why was that prophet not so friendly in our text and in this chapter? Because he was aware for himself about the seriousness of the condition in which that the country was at that time. And the whole country, with the king and with the queen, here in this connection, it is the mother of the queen, that he's talking about. But now that queen, and she was the one at that time, the mother of Jojachin, who was sitting behind everything, she was finally the one that ruled in that time the country. That son, he was well king, he had a name as king, but finally he had to say nothing. But that mother that was behind everything, and if it now was as in Deborah, then it was not so bad. But it was in wickedness and in sin. To bring the country in an awful condition of misery. And now what the prophet Jeremiah in the name of the Lord requests from that people and from all the inhabitants of the country, that was obedience again towards the Lord. That people that have to place themselves under the authority of the Word of God. And what Jeremiah have to tell that people at that time, it was accompanied with so many threatenings that the Lord would bring over that people when they refused to hear the word of God. That they could expect for their own country the awful things that they never have heard, that they never have realized, because what was laying before the door, nothing else than that that King Nebuchadnezzar would come and bring that people out of their own country in captivity. And that they have to live there for so many years, despised by that strange country and nation. And still, congregation, it were the mercies of the Lord that he sent the prophet, the Jeremiah, to that people. And we have here in this evening, in our text, an illustration for the nation of Judah, but also for all of us in the times in which we are living. And now the Lord, he used here in this evening, in that text, an illustration of a wayfaring man. A man that is traveling in the midst of the mountains. And in the eastern countries, there was only few minutes between the light of the day and the light of the night. In some countries, there you have twilight. That means slowly on it becomes dark. But that was not in those eastern countries. One moment they were walking in the light, and after a few minutes, then it was so dark that they could see nothing. And then, of course, you can realize if you have to walk through the mountains, you never know what there lays in store for you. So many people that died there in those countries in the midst of the mountains, they stumble to the rocks that they have never seen in their whole life. They are sinking so many times in a deep abyss, so sudden and so unexpectedly that there is no escaping at all, and that they have to die without help, that there is not one, even when they cry, who is able to deliver them out of those abysses which are so deep that the only thing that is left for them, that is to die. Jeremiah, he had to bring the tidings to that people that the Lord was on his way to destroy the country and to bring that people in captivity. And it was his own country, it was his own people, and you can realize when Jeremiah was speaking to that people in those days, that his heart was broken down under the realizing for his own heart that the Lord soon would fulfill all the threatenings, and that he would bring that people in an awful distress. They have to listen. Hear it is, hear ye and give ear. But hear the meaning of the word here in this text, that is, listen to it. Take it to heart, because there is so many people that was in the days of the prophet Jeremiah, and that was in the days of the prophet Ezekiel. They did hear the word of God, but they did not listen. That means they gave no attention to it. And there were also in those days so many false prophets. You read in Jeremiah 8 about them, that they say peace, 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 but there was no peace. And all that people that was listening well to those false prophets, but not to the prophet of the Lord. And there was something else involved at that time. They could not believe, and they would not believe that the Lord ever would give over that people in the hand of another country. They were thinking, we have that city Jerusalem, and in our midst is the temple, and the Lord shall never leave that over to an enemy. Thus they were leaning upon the temple, and they were leaning upon Jerusalem. And alas, they have no idea that the wrath of the Lord was kindled towards them on account of all their sins and of all their transgressions. Their eyes were closed for that. And of course, now the Lord, he said here in his word, that they have to hear and to give ear, that they would consider what the Lord had to speak unto them, but also to give glory to the Lord. And what was now finally that awful sin in the days of the prophet Jeremiah in regard to that nation and that country and those kings and those princes, that they did not acknowledge the Lord in all their ways? And let I say it no, still different, they placed the Lord entirely outside of the government and outside of the ruling of the nation. In other words, the Lord had to say nothing. That was the awful sin in the days of the prophet Jeremiah. That is our sin too in our days, people. That is how the sins of our country, that is the sin of the nation. No acknowledgement of the Lord. They are not thinking about it. That all belongs to the past, they say. Years ago they did. But now we are so wise, we know everything. Now the sin of our country, that is not only to deny the Lord, but to ignore the Lord and to place him outside of everything. I have not to explain that so much to you, because you read time and again about our president and our government. And they are so busy with other nations of the world to keep peace with one and with the other, even with the countries and with the nations who had no respect at all for God and for his word. There was once a king in the world, and it was outwardly for that country, it was hopeless. The poverty was so awful that there was not one nation that desired to have anything to do with the country. And then they asked that king how that he personally was standing towards it, whether that he was not afraid that he would lose his country and that strangers would rule over him. But then he said, I am standing alone, I know it. But I have made a covenant with the potentate. Aller potentate. With the King of Kings. And with the Lord of Lords, and a country that is standing still there, and that happens already, about 1572. But that means something. And now I start thinking about this text, people, and the connection of this text. And one of the explainers of the Bible, he wrote about this chapter, 5 minutes to 12. 5 minutes to 12. Joachim, that was one of the last kings of Judah. There was no one coming, but then the kingdom outwardly, that was done. That was done. Shall there not come another president over our country as that we have now? Shall our eyes see another president ruling over us? It is a question. It is really a question, people. And it is possible that the wrath of the Lord is so kindled against us that he said, it is done. It is done. Oh, if we, I as well as you people, oh, that we not place ourselves above anyone in the world. But oh, if we lay in the court, you read by the king Hezekiah. Here he got to Sembalat. And all those enemies. And they said, oh, shall you trust in your God? There was never one God in the whole world that had delivered us themselves out of our hands. But then the king, he rent his clothes, his mantle. He rent his mantle. And then he laid the letters before the Lord. And yesterday I hear it now in a talk, I think yesterday. And then the Lord, he came and he said, for David's, my servant's sake, for David my servant's sake. And sometimes there are words that can touch so much heart. And then you know all David. And all that had taken place, but still the Lord, he said, for David my servant. Because he was, notwithstanding that his house was also not with God, and that he could not stand with his life before the Lord, but he came in truth and uprightness on the floor, and in the valley of truth and humility. And then 200-300 years later, then he said, for David, my servant's sake. Oh, the Lord, people. The Lord, he is so merciful. The Lord is so gracious. The Lord is so kind. If he bow before him. If he return unto him. Then his mercy. That endures forever and forever. But what can we expect, people, when we go on in our ways? Rejecting, denying the Lord, in peace that was few weeks ago in a paper in the East. I was in that same time there when that came in that paper. And then there was mentioned that our present president, that he most of the time, once a month, goes to the church. Even Kennedy, he missed, that was also in that piece. And you know, he belonged to that Roman church. But even that man, every Sunday morning, he attended the Mass. But Billy Graham, he said to our president, that is not the main thing of the religion, that you attend the church on Sunday. No. Is it not awful? But David said in the word in Psalm 27, one thing I have desired and I look after it, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and to inquire into his temple. And if you read also another chapter, I think it is Jeremiah 17, about the Sabbath day. If there is respect for the day of the Lord, and that we attended the service to hear and to listen to the word of God, but the blessing that the Lord now give upon it, even that it is all outwardly people, but even outwardly blessings are given to them that walk in the ways of the Lord. You read by the prophet Jeremiah in the 35th chapter, the sons of Rahab, that they have promised their father never to drink wine, never to build house. And, but that the Lord said that they were so obeying their father that generation that would stand forever on account that they obey their father and their mother. And what much more now, congregation, if we obey the Lord and if we walk in his ways, that we have respect for his ordinances. But oh, there is no thought about it. And then you read of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he said that it shall be as in the days of Noah, eating and drinking, and marrying, and giving in marriage. Is that sin to eat and to drink and to marry? No, that is no sin. But why is that mentioned by the Lord in his word and testimony? That the people have no other thoughts about eating and drinking and a fleshly and carnal life, and no thoughts about the God who gives psalms in the night. And now the Lord, he said, here give glory to the Lord your God. We can say that from the United States also, from our own country, in 1602, in 1609, our fathers came with the Bible under their arm, and so they stepped from the boat with the word of God under their arm. And you can find it in their books, boys and girls, search those works, that you know what the beginning was of our country. They brought with them, sometimes there are examples, 40 families, nothing in the world, but they brought with them their own ministers, because they would not live without a minister, without a servant of the Lord, and without the preaching of the gospel. And the Lord, he had brought his word and testimony in our country, and our constitution that is built upon the eternal word of God, now it lays in the court. Now it has to say nothing. We can trample it under our feet. Think about the Supreme Court. Think about what all happens. No Bible in the school. No prayers. We can live without God, and we shall show that we live without him, and that we have welfare. But the Lord, he said in his word, different. The opposite that is true, that if we leave and forsake the name of our God, then we have to expect nothing else than the judgments of the Lord. Give glory to the Lord, said that text. And how shall we now give glory to the Lord? To bow before him in dust and ashes. To lay personally in our inner chamber before the Lord, confessing with our heart our guilt and our sin. Confessing that we have remorse of all our life that lays behind us. That we have forsaken the name of our God. Because as a nation, then he can also say of our country, your God. From whom were all those blessings flow? And from whom it came all the welfare that there was in our country? Did it come from men? No. It is only coming from the Lord. From the Lord your God. And now he said here, give glory to the Lord. We are called to do that because he had revealed himself in this country. He had given his word and testimony. He had given his servants, who are still speaking after that they are dead and that they are gone. The Lord, he is still speaking. He is warning each and every one that we return from our evil ways and that we come back to the Lord to walk in his ways. It is true, people. It is true. The Lord only can bring us back. That is true. But we have also to realize that we have our rational mind. We are no idols. No. And the Lord, he had given his word amongst us. And his testimony in our midst. The Lord, he hath preached unto us the way that leads to our eternal welfare, but also to the blessings in the way of nature. It is clear enough that it is placed before us, people. And now give glory to the Lord that we have respect for his perfections. Respect for his attributes. Respect for his word. And respect for his testimony. Oh, it is congregation. It is towards our country. An awful thing if you think that the cost for the court to handle that case in California of that man that once said that he was the Christ, that he is a God, that have cost now already more than $300,000. If they did what the Lord said in Genesis 9, verse 6, then it was all done. Then it cost not $1. No. And our country that is sinking away, really. Also in regard to the financing. How can it be? How can that keep up? How is that possible? And if you read in the Word of God, people, what the Lord had done in the Old Testament, they were not so patient. No. The Lord even brought it to an end time and again immediately. And then you read even in the Bible, and the Lord sends it. And Ananias and Sapphira, then there came a fear in the whole congregation. That they were afraid to join with them. Afraid. But now, robbing and stealing and murdering. Oh, that blood that calls for vengeance. Really, to the Lord. And shall the Lord, shall he not reveal his anger over all those things, young boys even at 20 years old sometimes. And they are standing there for the judges, laughing. What a spirit. And if that spirit of communism shall have the over the upper hand soon, our church shall be closed. Our church shall be closed. Because, you see, before your eyes, that spirit of communism is coming, creeping, in our country, more and more, as a snake, till that they think now it is the right time, it is 12 o'clock, and they have closed their eyes for the dangers in which we are living, people, and that a country of so many millions, have no more rest even in their homes and on the streets. Give glory to the Lord. That is what the Lord requires from us, two people. To return to him, that God's word and testimony in the Supreme Court by all the judges. By all the judges have so much power and authority that they asked, what is the Lord requiring from us? Because the day is coming that all the judges And all the authorities are standing before the Lord. What they have done with the first table of the law, as well as with the second table of the law, they can laugh about it. And they can say they are judges that they do, who are no more believed that there is a God, atheist, entirely atheist. But the Lord is come. And the Lord is calling them before his judgment seat. Give glory to the Lord your God before he caused darkness and before your feet stumble upon the dark mountains. And while ye look for light, because when it becomes reality, congregation, then it becomes reality, then the conscience shall be open. But then it shall be too late. Then it shall be too late. That they are looking for light, but he turned it into the shadow of death and make it gross darkness. Now, we are wondering more and more about the long suffering and the patience of the Lord, people. Really. We are wondering about what all happens and how that iniquity is increasing in so many ways. But the Lord is coming. And when the time is there that he comes, then there is no more patience with the Lord. No. But then, blood and tears, and calling upon the Lord, but too late. And then he said in one text, even that Job, or that Samuel would come before me, I shall not hear. Then Abraham was pleading for Sodom, for that wicked city. Then the Lord, he said, if there are 10 righteous men, I shall spare the city. But in Ezekiel, there it is, even that Samuel was standing before me, I shall not hear. But then the wrath of God shall be poured out, and that, oh, that time, people, that time, that it shall be too late for our country, too late for our country. And then you have no more balking, and then you have no more dancing, arrow skating, and all those places of idleness and of sin. And then the tavern shall be shut. Oh, then. Because even what a government can ever do, the Lord, he can do it. If he says stop, then it is done. Young and old, great and small, give glory to the Lord. Listen to him. And give glory to the Lord. Acknowledge him with your heart, with our whole heart. That is the only two things, congregation. But I have to say to you in this evening, I shall close now. I shall take your time not so much. But that young and old, great and small, that we are realizing the seriousness of our condition, and that we leave this church this evening, two things I have heard, I have to listen, and I have to give glory to the Lord before that he it shall make dark, and there shall be no more light. Congregation, it is still the day of grace. God's servants are preaching still, also in your midst. Oh, that it break our heart in pieces, and that our eyes were opened young and old for our guilt and sin, and to have remorse of it and sorrow of it, and return to the Word of God and to His eternal testimony. Children of God, where is our life? Where is my life? Where is your life? Under the serious condition in which we are living. Oh, we become so used to all the judgments and to the drawing away of the Holy Spirit, even from the ordinances. We are used to that the Lord, so far as we can see, almost not comfort people as that he had done in former times. His chosen ones he shall gather to the church of Christ. He shall do it. That work that shall be never come to a standstill. But congregation, that we see it in our own life, that we see it in the life of our children and grandchildren, that sin become a burden to them, and the world a burden, and their own life a burden, and that they cry, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Oh, that the God of all grace remember us, and that he may sanctify his word brought unto you in this evening, that it be to an eternal blessing for young and old, for great and small, and that we later on may hear that word have entered into the heart of many people. The Lord remember us with our families, with our school, with our teachers, with our government and president, with all those that rule over us. Lord, open our eyes. Bring us back that we give glory to the Lord. Amen. Lord, that thy word and testimony be sanctified to our hearts, that it find an entrance into our soul, and that it may please thee to establish it for us and for our generations and for the generations to come. Oh, Lord, leave us not over to ourselves. Remember all of us in thy condescending mercy. Also, in the day of tomorrow, where we hope to leave, to visit that sick minister. We have heard this evening that his condition was not so good. Oh, Lord, remember him with his congregation and family, and prepare him for eternity. Remember the congregation with elders and deacons, oh, that on the next Saturday, that they come faithfully to listen to the word of God, and that they are realizing why that we are not in their midst. And it could be also in our midst that that living voice was no more heard. Oh, Lord, remember us, bring us safely home. Remember our dear ones that we left behind us. Strengthen us to all the labors, protect us, that we remember one another at the throne of grace by day and by night. Oh, Lord, hear us and forgive all our sins. For Christ's sake, holy. Amen. We sing now 351, the first stanza. 351. To thee, O Lord, I lift my eyes. O thou enthroned above the skies. The first stanza of 351. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.